Last Sunday night, Derek Malcolm introduced us to a little church in Turkey, one that's spoken of in the book of Revelation. And Derek, being a man that has studied very much the early church life of Turkey, was able to help us understand better how the various churches in those early Christian days developed in the country of Turkey, modern day Turkey. This week I thought we would just have a little look at this church in Greece, in Thessalonica. I have to confess that all of the epistles that Paul has written, I somehow am always attracted to Thessalonians, because I kind of love just how these Christians developed from the moment they came to faith to the point here where Paul, the apostle, he writes to them. Just a little bit of background. It was when Paul was taking a second missionary journey. He took three missionary journeys. In those days, missionaries didn't go to a city and stay put. Largely, they would travel. They would go from city to city. And so Paul and his friend Barnabas, they discussed what they would do next and who they would take with them. And you know, there was a little difference of opinion between Paul and Barnabas. But they agreed to differ. Christians can have differences of opinion sometimes, but we should do it in a nice manner. And Paul and Barnabas, they parted. Barnabas went with a friend called John Mark, who was related to him, and they went in one direction. Paul was a little nervous about taking John Mark. He wasn't keen to do that, so he took Silas, and they went in another direction. And it was while they were making their way to visit some of the churches that they had previously visited that Paul had a dream or a vision. And we call it today the Macedonian call. While Paul was sleeping, God clearly spoke to him in a dream, a vision, and said to him, "Paul, I don't want you to go further into Turkey. I want you to go in the other direction, to Greece." And so Paul immediately, without hesitation, he boarded a boat, we are told, and made his way toward Greece. When I thought about that, I thought, that's interesting. That's a similar journey to what many of the refugees are taking today. From Syria, where Paul had come from, Antioch, instead of going to Turkey, he went to Greece. And that's exactly what so many refugees are doing today, leaving Syria and coming down into Greece with a view to going beyond Greece into North America. And so he did that. And from Syria to Greece he came. From Antioch he first arrived in Philippi. Europe, modern day Europe. And there Paul spoke to people about the Lord Jesus. And the first person to respond to the good news was a lady called Lydia. She was a merchant. She was a woman who was, I would suggest, an enterprise, an entrepreneurial type of lady. She sold purple, which was in great demand in those days by those that were wealthy. She was, though, also a godly lady who prayed. And it would seem to me that God answered her prayers in that she was able to be introduced to Paul, and Paul shared with her the good news. It reminded me of that verse of scripture, "Those that seek me will find me." And if we genuinely want to know God and we seek after him, then God will allow us to find him. Such is God's grace and love for each one of us. And so he began to speak to this lady and other ladies down by the riverside where he found them praying. And I thought, Paul never gives any thought to gender or status or where people come from. Wherever he had the opportunity, he shared the gospel. And the very first Christian that we read about who came to faith in Europe was a lady, Lydia by name. The next person who came to the Lord Jesus was a slave girl. And sadly, she had what the Bible describes as an unclean or evil spirit, and she did fortune telling for her master. But she recognized who Paul was, and Paul was concerned about her, so much so that he ministered to her in a very special way, and she was made whole, and she became the second convert, as far as we know, in the continent of Europe. A lady, a slave girl. Interestingly, the third person we read about was a jailer. Jim introduced us to the idea at the earlier prayer meeting of praying for those who minister in prison, because prisoners, in a special way, are open to hear what God has to say to them because of the guilt and concern they have about their lifestyle. Paul was put in prison with his friend Silas because they were causing a bit of an uproar, or so those that accused them said. And so it was after a beating by the jailer that they were put into stocks. But here are the wonderful things that we read about in Acts. Both Paul and Silas were praising God right up until midnight and beyond. Then the prisoners heard them, and God heard them, and there was an earthquake in the prison, and the prison doors sprung open. And when the jailer saw that was about to happen, that the prisoners would all escape, Paul was able to say to him, "Don't do yourself any harm. The prisoners are still here. God is only interested in Silas and myself." And the prison warden said to Paul these words, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul shared the good news with him. And the prison warden, through faith, came to Jesus and received him into his life, he and his family. And we read later, they were baptized. The second city that Paul went to after Philippi was this city that we're looking at today, Thessalonica. Thessalonica was a very busy city. There would probably be around 20,000 people living there at this time. It was a wealthy city, a city of commerce. People came and went using their ports and harbors, the city of Thessalonica. In that city, there were people from all over the world that had come to live there. A large Jewish community, Greek people that the Bible describes as God-fearing Greek people. But mostly the population was a pagan population, people who worshipped strange gods, worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon. They had a whole list of gods that they would worship. In fact, Paul later in the chapter that we've read together, toward the end of the chapter we read together, speaks about how they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And so Paul and Silas, they arrive at this city, and they began to preach, and a remarkable revival broke out. Men and women began to feel, this is what we've needed, this is what we've wanted to hear, that there is a God in heaven who loves us, that he sent his son to be our savior. And people responded to that message in such a dramatic way. They came in their dozens to faith in the Lord Jesus. But if you take time to read the account, it's in the Acts of the Apostles, you will find that Paul and his companions, they had to leave in a hurry. But at the first opportunity Paul has, he sends back Timothy to this little church. And he wants to know from him how these new believers are doing. And Timothy returns with some wonderful news. He says they're doing extremely well. The Christians are remaining firm to their faith. They are united together. Yes, they do have some questions. There are some concerns. But I'm going to, said Timothy to Paul, tell you what these are. And it was that reason, or for that reason, that, or one of the reasons, why it was that Paul wrote this letter that we have read from. He wanted to encourage them, but he also wanted to answer some of their questions. And so we've read the first part of the letter together. And the letter begins by telling the believers in this city who the letter is from. It's from Paul himself. I'm seeing Muriel here. She might not mind me saying this. I hope she doesn't. But on Friday, she was 95. That's a great age. And on the Thursday, we were able, the Bible study group that meets in her house on a Thursday, we were able to sing happy birthday and blow out the candles. We only had one candle because we believed that if we had 95 candles, we might have passed out with the heat. But one of the things that concerned Muriel was that she had cards from people that she didn't know who they were from. From Joy, from Mary, from Susan, from Angela. And she was saying, who are these people? Who has sent me these cards? It's good to know who the letter or the card is from. And so Paul begins, as was the habit, I think, in those days, of beginning the letter by saying who it was from. It's from Paul, but isn't it interesting to see that he also includes his two colleagues, Silas and Timothy? Although Paul was an outstanding man of God, and although Paul never sought the limelight, he never sought the limelight. He was unquestionably a leader in that early church, probably along with Peter. He pioneered the gospel throughout Asia and Europe. But status was never important to him. He was happy to include his friends, Paul and Silas. Partnership was very important to him. Yes, God had given to him a sacred trust. He speaks about that when he writes to the Romans. But Paul was no lone ranger. He always loved the fellowship and company of others. And so as he took the gospel, the good news to a needy world, he goes often, and always, in fact, as far as I can see, in the company of others. And so he says to these Christians in Thessalonica, this letter is from me, yes, but it's also from Silas and Timothy, because we're partners and we work together in bringing the good news to others. And then he goes on to say, I am writing this letter to God's church, to God's people. Note that it wasn't Paul's church. Although Paul was instrumental in being used by God to see this church established, to see this church planted, he speaks of it as God's church. Because Paul recognized that this church wasn't something that he owned simply because he had been used by God to bring about God's blessing amongst these people. He did not own it. It belonged to God. We are in a church here this morning, a church building at least, People's Evangelical Church. This church, of course, isn't really a building. It's people. It's people that make a church. We have the building, yes, and there are trustees and there are elders that give oversight and look after the building. But the church is the people who meet here. And Paul, in writing to these Christians, reminded them that they were a church. I don't even know if they had a proper building, possibly met in one another's homes. But he says to the church that belongs to God. Because God had established that church, it was God that had worked in the hearts and lives of people. It was God who had challenged these people to trust in the Savior. And men and women had surrendered their lives to Jesus. And that's what's happened down through history. God has called from this world people to follow his Son, to be his disciples. Wherever the gospel message is heard, wherever it is obeyed, lives are changed. I've seen that all over the world. I've been given the privilege of traveling extensively throughout Africa and Asia. even into Papua New Guinea. And I've been overwhelmed with joy to see companies of God's people who have had their lives changed, who have obeyed the call of Christ, who have accepted him as Savior and Lord. And that is what happened to the people in Thessalonica. They had, in that great city, surrendered to the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, when I came to you, it was not simply with words. I'm not sure how eloquent Paul was. Some have suggested that he wasn't an eloquent speaker. He stumbled at times. He wasn't one where words would flow easily. But he says, that wasn't important, because when I came to you, I came with power given to me by the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that used my words to give you full assurance that what I said to you was true. And that is how God works today, largely. Yes, he will speak to us through the Bible. He will speak to us through something that has happened in our life. Even through nature, God sometimes speaks to people. But oftentimes he will speak through someone speaking, gossiping the gospel, or preaching a message. And that's what happened here. Paul just met with people, shared with them the good news, sometimes in the synagogues, sometimes out in the street. And the gospel was received as a message to these people. And Paul says, you receive this message with joy. Why with joy? Because the gospel dispels fear. And in a pagan society where people worship idols, there is often fear and mistrust. When I was in Thailand and went to some Buddhist temples, my heart was burdened to see people fearful, afraid, lying prostrate before their gods, crying for mercy. The gospel, it gives us that freedom from fear. It dispels fear. The gospel is truly good news. It brings liberty to the captive. The gospel rescues people from the kingdom of darkness. And that's why these people in Thessalonica received it with joy. They had been liberated. They recognized immediately that what had happened in their lives, the change that had taken place, was of the God of heaven who had brought it about. And so the message was received with joy. But of course, we have to be honest that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. There are also in the Christian life challenges. And Paul acknowledged this, because he says in the chapter that we've read together that they came to faith in suffering as well. As a result of them trusting Christ, they were caused to suffer in different ways, just as that happens today too. In some countries where Christianity is not allowed to be freely proclaimed, when someone does become a Christian, it follows often that they suffer, and sometimes at great sacrifice. So it was a great challenge to these people in Thessalonica. But Paul says to this about them. Wherever I go, he says, people speak about you. People tell me how you've turned from idols to serve the living and true God. I start out by explaining to people that in Thessalonica, men and women there came to faith in the Lord Jesus, and they put their hand up and say, go no further, Paul. We know all about it. People spoke from Thessalonica about their faith. They were so filled with joy that they wanted to share it with others. And so we read together. that these early Christians in the city of Thessalonica, they not only preached the gospel in their own city, but they went to Achaia, which was the region that they lived in, into Macedonia and beyond, sharing their faith with others. My, that causes us to feel a little humble, does it not? To think that this little church in Thessalonica had such an influence in the wider region where the city was. Of course, out of our own little church, we're sharing the gospel with others. We earlier this morning prayed for Richard and Emma, an extension of our church, as it were. They're taking the gospel to people in Japan and sharing the good news with them. Kenny Holt this week is in Tanzania, and he will have the opportunity there to preach and share the good news with people in that country. We send out literature and helpful scripture and Bibles to other parts of the world. Some of us that are involved here, some are involved in the Gideons, where they place Bibles into hotels and schools and in other places. And in that way, we are sharing the good news with others, and we give God thanks for that. Of course, when we pray for others, God hears our prayers. We can be perhaps immobile in a small room, locked away, but we can be reaching the world with our prayers. And that is what many men and women who are hospitalized or are no longer mobile to go out and do the things that they previously had done, they share the good news by praying for those that have needs. Now, just briefly, three things Paul noted about these Christians. Three qualities that should characterize us who have trusted Jesus, who are his followers. He says of them that they were faithful. He says of them that they were loving. And finally, he speaks about how they have endured. When I think about myself, I think, do these qualities characterize me? Their faith produced in their lives, said Paul, kind acts. And it was James, I think, that taught us, well, it was James, when he said that faith without works is dead. One of the ways that we know if someone is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is how they live out their life. And if they want to help others, then that is a clear indication that God has done a work of grace in their life. These Christians in Thessalonica had a genuine faith that inspired them to help others. They did this willingly. They didn't grumble about it, but accepted that this was their Christian duty. And so Paul says, this is something that I know about you. I know about your faith, the works that were produced or inspired by your faith. He speaks too about their love. And remember, these are people from a pagan background that have no Christian background at all. It's all new to them, but immediately Christ begins to work in their lives. There's a change. And he speaks about how now they love people. We have to love others if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. John tells us that. He says love comes from God. So if God has touched our lives, then one of the things that should characterize us is love for others. John says, and goes on to say, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. The third thing they did, they endured. They kept pressing on. They didn't give in when times became tough. They didn't give up when challenges faced them. They endured. Like Abraham that we have been studying in the midweek at our Bible studies, they had their eyes set on a city with eternal foundations whose builder and maker is God. They believed with all their hearts that the one that they had put their faith and trust in would be coming back again. And Paul makes mention of that. He says how they are waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus. Their future, it lay with their Savior. They endured because, come what may, they had before them an inheritance that God had prepared for them. An inheritance that would never, ever fade away. Their hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. May we be like those Thessalonians and have that same desire to endure, come what may. And I know that even within our church family, we've had to face challenges, difficulties, and we've had to turn to God and seek either His forgiveness or His help, or perhaps His wisdom as we face the future. But God is a faithful God, and He hears our prayers, and He answers them. And these Christians in Thessalonica, they recognized the faithfulness of God, and as a result of that, they were prepared to endure, because they knew that what lay before them, come what may, would be eternity in heaven. The gift they received when Paul preached and they came to faith in Jesus was the gift of eternal life. Paul said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. They had received that eternal life, and although they were still living in Thessalonica and beyond when they were taking the gospel to others, that hope burnt within their hearts that one day they would be with Jesus. So, let's think for a moment. Let's think of what these Christians were characterized by. Faith. Faith in a faithful God. Love, because God is love. And endurance, because our future is secure in heaven with our Savior. May we too be characterized with the qualities that characterized these early Christians in the city of Thessalonica.